is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 2nd of December, and this podcast episode is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. In today's top story, password management utility LastPass says a threat actor has breached one of its cloud storage servers using information stolen in a previous security incident that took place in August this year. LastPass says the intruder gained access to certain elements of their customers' information, but that master passwords for customer accounts have not been compromised and remain safely encrypted. The incident also impacted the infrastructure of LastPass's sister company, GoTo. Both LastPass and GoTo are notifying customers affected by the recent breach via email. Russian cybersecurity firm Kaspersky has detected a new malware strain named CryWiper that was used in data wiping attacks against Russian organizations. According to Russian news outlet Izvestia, victims include judicial courts and mayoral offices across several Russian regions. Neither Kaspersky nor Russian government officials have formally attributed CryWiper to any specific group or entity. The attacks come after Russian organizations were hit by another data wiper named RuRansom in March. Both RuRansom and CryWiper masquerade as ransomware, but just destroy data, so there's no way for victims to recover their files after paying. The Reval ransomware gang has released the entire data set stolen from Australian healthcare insurer Medibank. The data was published after Medibank refused to pay Reval's extortion demand following an intrusion into its network in mid-October. Medibank has officially confirmed the leak of its entire data, which includes the personal and medical information of 9.7 million current and former customers. Google has filed a lawsuit against the owners of an online service called G-Verifier that was allegedly defrauding small businesses by impersonating Google in telemarketing calls. Google says G-Verifier was calling small business owners and offering to set up Google Business Profiles, a service that Google provides for free. Now, the lawsuit also alleges that G-Verifier agents offered to provide fake reviews on the business profiles to boost a company's reputation and ran websites that sold fake reviews, either positive or negative, to manipulate a company's business profile in Google search results and in Google Maps listings. The US Department of Justice has advised the Federal Communications Committee to deny the application of two US telecom companies to build a subsea cable system linking the United States with Cuba. The DOJ says the cable poses a security threat because the Cuban government doesn't share its vision of an open, interoperable, and secure internet. Prosecutors in Albania's capital, Tirana, have charged five government employees in connection to a series of cyber attacks carried out by Iranian state-sponsored hackers in July this year. The attacks crippled multiple Albanian government systems, including official government portals and even physical border crossings. Prosecutors say the charged employees failed to apply security updates to government systems and also failed to detect that hackers had been in their networks as far back as April 2021. Albania cut diplomatic ties with Iran following the attacks and even considered invoking NATO's Article 5 over Iran's actions. Google's tag security team has exposed a Spanish company as the creator of commercial spyware tools. Google says that Variston IT, a company based in Barcelona, Spain, created Heliconia, a tool that can exploit vulnerabilities in products such as Chrome, Firefox, and Microsoft Defender. Tag researchers say they first learned of Heliconia after receiving an anonymous file submission via their bug portal that contained parts of the attack framework. An analysis of the source code found exploits for older vulnerabilities, and comments in the Heliconia source code included the names of Variston employees. Google Tag says the vulnerabilities are all patched up now and were most likely exploited as zero days in previous years by Heliconia's customers. There's a lot of research news this week. To start off with, mobile security firm Lookout has found 251 Android and 35 iOS lending apps that engage in predatory and abusive behaviour. The apps offered attractive and cheap loans, but requested excessive access to users' smartphones, including to sensitive areas such as contacts, files, and SMS messages. The apps used hidden fees, high interest rates, and repayment terms that were different from the ones listed on their official App Store listings. Once users defaulted on their loans, the apps would harass and threaten borrowers with repeated notifications. If victims refused to pay, Lookout says that some of the apps went as far as to send messages to their friends and other contacts in schemes meant to shame and put pressure on the borrower. Lookout says the Android apps were downloaded more than 15 million times, while the iOS apps ranked high in Apple's App Store finance category. All apps have been removed by both the Apple and Google App Stores following Lookout's report. Mobile security firm Zimperium has discovered a new Android Trojan named Schoolyard Bully that's been active since 2018 and appears to be focused on stealing Facebook credentials. More on this threat from Richard Mellick, Director of Mobile Threat Intelligence at Zimperium.
The Zimperium Z-Labs team has discovered a new Android threat campaign that we have dubbed Schoolyard Bully Trojan. Now, this Trojan has been active since 2018 and originally spread through the Google Play Store, but it has since been removed. This campaign spread to over 300,000 victims, specifically targeting their Facebook credentials. Now, this malicious application is camouflaged as legitimate educational applications with a wide range of books and topics for their victims to read. The malware strain is primarily targeting Vietnamese readers as well. The novelty of this threat, though, is how it is targeting its victims. By using education and reading-based categories, users are already lowering their guard as they might not feel that they are revealing too much critical information. But the moment they connect their Facebook social media account, they are providing the malicious actors with the credentials that can often be used to log into other web portals. And as there is no overlaying scam or threat, the victim is left unaware of the breach of their information. The Zimperium Z-Labs team has found over 300,000 victims across 71 countries, illustrating the broader reaching geographic impact of this campaign. But the actual number of countries could be more than that because the application is still being spread through third-party application stores and side-loading scams.
The security researchers Sam Curry, Brett Burhaus, and Spectres have found a vulnerability in a Hyundai web portal and app used by car owners to control their cars. The researchers say the vulnerability could have been exploited to take over the account of Hyundai and Genesis car owners and remotely control car locks, engines, horns, headlights, and trunks. All Hyundai and Genesis models built after 2012 were vulnerable. In addition, the same trio of researchers say they found a second vulnerability, this one in the Sirius XM app that ships with cars from Honda and Nissan. The trio say the vulnerability could be used to remotely unlock, start, locate, flash, and honk the horn of cars running the app. Unlike the first vulnerability, to exploit this one, an attacker would have to know a targeted car's VIN number. Sirius XM has fixed the vulnerability, but its app also ships with cars from BMW, Hyundai, Jaguar, Land Rover, Subaru, and Toyota, which may also be vulnerable to attacks if their respective owners don't update the app. Researchers from the German IT project Zerforschung have found several vulnerabilities in Hive Social, a recently launched social networking app that advertises itself as a Twitter replacement. The vulnerabilities can allow attackers to access a user's private data, including private messages, private posts, and even deleted DMs. The researchers said they initially contacted the company in private with their findings, but that the company lied about fixing the issues. After the researchers went public with their findings, Hive Social announced it was temporarily shutting down servers to address the reported issues. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Airlock Digital CEO David Cottingham, who'll be sharing his thoughts if admin to kernel is a security boundary.
So lately there's been some debate about whether admin to kernel is a security boundary, and myself and Daniel Schell, the CTO of Airlock Digital, recently did an interview with Patrick on the main Risky Business show about this topic. In my opinion, ultimately it is a security boundary, at least on Windows-based systems, because Microsoft's actions make it a boundary. Vendors must jump through a driver signing and review process to get code to run in the kernel, And also, Microsoft's developed the driver block rules as a process to get drivers out of the kernel. Ultimately, Microsoft has the final say as to what runs in kernel mode, and there have also been a few recent examples of Microsoft refusing to sign certain drivers and blocking them out of the kernel due to the driver's purpose. Many people take the view that if you're an attacker and you have admin on a box, you've already won. And while this may be true for the information that's on the machine, you can't hide from things like protected processes that sit in what I consider to be another kernel boundary. So if you're interested in this topic, make sure you check out our full discussion on this on next week's Risky Business.
That was David Conyngham from today's sponsor, Airlock Digital. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for listening.